This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, everyone. On Target St. John's is the name of the show. We've been starting a little later these days because we've been taking the updates from the Prime Minister of Canada. And we will be going to the provincial government update on COVID-19 immediately following the show today at 2 p.m. My guest today is none other than the president of the Fish, Food and Allied Workers Union, Keith Sullivan. Hello, Keith.
Yes, hello, Linda. Thanks for having me today.
Yes, not a problem. So COVID-19, as we know, is having an impact on all sorts of businesses and industries out there. We just got a little update from our own leader of Stingray, who gave us a boost, I guess, during these difficult times, saying that we're all doing an essential job out there, and we're happy to be providing that service to people. But there's a lot of industries that are being impacted in a serious kind of way, and one of them, of course, is the fishery. And there's a number of fisheries set to open in the coming weeks. I guess my big question to you is, how can those fisheries and production activity happen at this time of social distancing?
Yes, so there's an awful lot of questions, and you know, and your listeners know, that the information is changing rapidly, and it's not a local problem. It's a global epidemic, and that creates all sorts of challenges. So I'd like to follow up on what you kind of started with, actually, though, and obviously a special thank you at this difficult time to essential workers, people who are on the front line. So obviously healthcare professionals, those who are serving us in supermarkets and media and so many more. So, I mean, that can't be understated how important the work that people do. And I think people will look at a lot of the jobs in our society a little different after a coronavirus. Hopefully we get over this difficult hump for sure. And the challenges in our industry, like most others, I would say very, very similar. First and foremost, members and their families just feeling an awful lot of this stress and anxiety. First of all, most concerned about the health, their health themselves, health of families, friends, neighbor. What can we do to make sure we're doing the right things to deal with this pandemic? So, like you had said, if you're on a fishing boat, for example, the ability to social distance, in some cases, it doesn't really seriously exist in any capacity. There's certain measures you may be able to do, but certainly on a fishing boat in that environment, you can't necessarily do it. Then in processing plants, much the same considerations. Now, we know there's many people working to do this and try and find ways that we could distance. We can set up physical barriers, put in new considerations with, having extremely sterile environments and do a lot of washing and everything else. But still, the comfort level, particularly when the rates we see in Newfoundland and Labrador of COVID-19 are so high, people are very, very concerned.
Well, indeed. So how is this going to work now? The lobster fishery set to open April 18th, the crab fishery soon thereafter. What can be put in place to ensure that these fisheries go ahead, if at all?
So there are some of the discussions that are taking place. Now, the timing, this is a time of year when people in the fishing industry haven't been working for some time, and now this is when most of our seasons get going. So, again, a lot of credit had to be given to our members and people of volunteer committees who were involved in these discussions. So, for example, just to start with crab as an example, we've had a group who would generally be called a negotiating committee. These are members of different crab committees and chairs of committees throughout the province, in some cases, have discussions around things of what the possibility, certainly, of a fishery is. Through the consultations early on, a lot of input was about, we don't feel comfortable fishing now. So we initially put in a request to DFO to delay the season to the 20th of April, at least, to give us time to look at other considerations. And the DFO have granted that. There was some time confirming that, but DFO have confirmed that information. So some of the conversations we have as groups working specifically around how you can minimize impacts on a fishing boat, a working group on that specific topic. So really that comes down to a lot of things like, okay, what happens before you get on a vessel? You know, that's the big concern, because preventing it once people get together on a vessel, obviously that's really difficult. So, and then the interaction between loading supplies on, unloading, what those interactions are like. Then considerations about what happens on a wharf and at plants, and a group working out best practices there. And we're working on that information, not necessarily been put out broadly now, just because it'd be irresponsible to put out something that's incomplete. This is something new. I mean, this is not like information on navigating a four-way stop. I mean, this is something new, extremely complicated, and really we got to do everything to be as responsible as possible. And then the other concern beyond the health issues or the implications that we have from the changes in global supply chain. So on crab, for example, we see that, you know, restaurants throughout the world are not open. A lot of crab goes through cruise ships, buffets, for example, and obviously Asia is a big part of our supply for crab. And now trying to reassess what markets are available to take product. There seems to be some good opportunities in supermarkets, particularly in the United States, where people are going to buy their groceries. But as you can appreciate, this, if you're a customer in the United States in an environment like this, things changing so quickly, even customers can't tell people who have supply products exactly what they're buying from one day to the next. So there's a lot of problems to try to nail down what the value of a fishery could be if and when we can operate safely.
Well, indeed, a lot of complexities there, and I want to explore that a little bit more. We're going to take a short break now. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Our guest today is the president of the FFAW, Keith Sullivan. And Keith, you were just outlining some of the real complexities here in trying to determine how or if a crab fishery, for instance, is going to go ahead this year. And you talked about the collapse of some areas of the global supply chain, including the cruise ship industry, which is a big, you supply a lot of crab to the cruise ship industry, of course. But are there some fisheries that are better positioned than others when it comes to, let's say, grocery market demand?
I would say yes, generally, and I bring up crab, like I had said before. So we have a significant amount of our crab, even traditionally, did go to supermarkets and retail sector. So the fact that there wasn't much snow crab in inventories, and there's still a lot of people getting their foods in the United States and other places, obviously, at supermarkets. So there could possibly be an opportunity to still market amount of crab at high value. Again, the behavior of people in a time like this, in this crisis, will they buy snow crab versus something else? I mean, that's something we really can't predict, but there's as well positioned to do that. So all species are certainly not the same. Another big one that we would have that would have start dates in April, and we know that there's a lot of discussions ongoing with committees and that around lobster now. And lobster is one where more of it actually ends up going to restaurants and food service as opposed to going into supermarkets. So the challenge there could be even more than it is in crab or some other species, for example. So Again, I mean, the same considerations for Lobster apply to Grab. The concern around the health and safety issues are number one all the time in discussions right now. The number of people who are concerned about you know, making sure that we're being safe can't be underscored enough. But beyond that, looking at how we have a fishery and get value, a lot of it would depend on the maritimes. In lobster, we're only around 6% of the Canadian supply, approximately. So if we do something here, it really has to be in some way possibly coordinated with the rest of Canada. We see there are other areas in the Maritimes that are delayed their seasons already. There's certainly some requests from processors in Newfoundland and Labrador to delay until at least May. And we're just in the process of consulting with members and people and committees and try to get back to people as quickly as we can. But we just obviously had to have as many conversations about the ideas of people and the understanding, and then make a much more informed decision to DFO.
How many of these fisheries are dependent on the time of year? Is that a serious concern here?
It really is. I mean, I know of any industry you're in. I mean, this has been an enormous blow to any industry. We can see what's happening in oil, all these examples. But one thing about a fishery is you're dealing with animals and biology and weather conditions, and you just can't fish and harvest when you want. So our lobster and crab, for example, we fish in the spring. There's lots of other species that are time dependent too, but we fish when generally animals are very good quality, very healthy, and have very high meat fill, and that's ideal on every level for a market. So for example, lobster fishing, when they begin to molt and become soft and bear eggs, I mean, that can have implications for conservation. So we've asked DFO to remain as flexible and as responsive to people in the industry as possible. So harvesters have a number of concerns, and we're going to have to work with all levels of government and certainly DFO if we're going to get through this and get value and protect our fisheries and make sure we're able to continue.
What about ground fish?
Again, we have a lot of fisheries that are starting to come up, beginning to open up, and everything is different. So there's not a blanket statement that can cover this. We've already requested a delay for a halibut fishery on the southwest coast, because, again, this is a species that goes directly to restaurants. So it's a fresh product, a high-value product, and the market. And basically, momentarily, it's not very good for products like that. So there may be other options on frozen food as you go out throughout the year. And they're discussions we really got to have as we go forward. So, again, they'll be ones we'll continue on a priority basis and try and deal with health issues first, and then how we can get as much value as we can for people. And, it's great to have an opportunity to be able to talk on your show and others. And I would say we're working very hard to be able to communicate with people throughout this who are not necessarily, there's not a lot of answers, but there's a lot of questions, certainly, and information we're always trying to update, say, every day, take opportunities like this when we can. And I'd encourage people to continue to check our website, ffaw.ca, and sign on to our Facebook page, where some people get information when possible. And just understand that there's a lot of people working very hard and trying to update with actually information that is accurate and pertinent at a time like this, rather than misinformation, is important.
Well, indeed, and that can't be expressed strongly enough, because as we know, social media, you get all kinds of conflicting information, people raising questions that may not be relevant to the topic at hand. So it is really key that you get the right information from the right sources. You touched on this earlier, Keith, but how big a role is the grocery industry playing in these conversations?
Is the grocery
Yeah, the grocery industry, grocers and that sort of thing, to give you a real sense of what kind of demand is out there, because, of course, people are still going to be requiring food at home, and a lot of people love their seafood, of course. How much of a role might the grocery industry play in these conversations of really establishing or determining what the demand is?
Yeah, they're definitely going to be significant, significant players in this. So we talk to people as far in the food chain as possible. We talk to people all around the world about how they're adapting to these things. And in some cases, we're seeing some products in retail stores probably do a little bit better. But there's a real concern that to make space for some food, some retail outlets have removed seafood counters. Again, it's a fresh, perishable product, and it takes a lot more time and management. And, you know, the stores have been extremely cautious. So we're trying to deal with all sectors, all people in the chain, try to communicate with the processing groups here as well. I think collaboration is going to be needed much more than we ever have before. You know, that's always been a challenge, and oftentimes adversarial. But I would say this is a time where people really have to come together, not look for divisions and things that are going to divide us, just like the fishing industry, I think, will have to come together, just like the rest of society, and not have people really looking to dig in and drive divisions, and that'll be important. So if we're going to have sales and seafood, you know, for the foreseeable future, is going to have to be with retailers, and we're going to have to work hard to accommodate their needs in what is becoming the new normal for them.
Indeed, it's a lot to get one's head around, and we're all being forced to think of things in a very different kind of way, and trying to deal with some of the challenges at hand. Is it at all possible that we may not see some fisheries go ahead this year, depending on what happens?
Well, it is, I'd have to say, you know, bluntly, that is in the realm of possibility. You know, that is certainly some of the possibilities that, you know, have to be considered. I think right now the process we're going through is just make sure that we're putting safety measures in place, and the advice we've been getting and has been reinforced is, okay, at the very least, let's put the delay into the season, give us some time to reassess. And then see if we can actually market this food. And then beyond that, we'll have to figure out what we can and cannot do. So with all this in mind, right from the very start, we've been in contact with the federal government, and we'll continue to do that with the federal ministers and senior officials. So we've asked, first of all, we talked about people are going to not have income. We've asked to have something like EI continue for people who cannot fish because of COVID-19. And we've seen the CERB response, $2,000 per month, come through. That was similar to address things like that. We've asked the federal department to forego observers on boats right now for a number of reasons, safety being number one. Observers not comfortable with going was obviously a concern, and then there's potentially a cost. We've asked DFO to waive fees at a time where it's so uncertain, and value at the very least is going to be down. People's earnings and income is going to be down under any scenario, to waive fees for this year. And on both the last two, on observers and on the fees, DFO have said that they are looking into that right now. So we hope to hear more very soon. But even with that, there is much bigger considerations that are needed. For example, in the worst case scenario, you don't have a fishery at all. There's people out there who have significant investments. They've invested just this year in boats and licenses. And having that kind of debt and investment, you know, the measures we just talked about are not going to cut it. So we've obviously highlighted the need for additional considerations there. We've talked to banks, for people who have those payments. Banks generally have seemed to delay principal payments. In some cases, I've heard of interest payments being deferred, and I think that's what we need, because the interest over time will certainly get people. So there's a whole host of considerations, none of it very easy, but there are a lot of people working on that, highlighting some of the challenges we have, which are obviously very, very many right now.
Indeed, and it's important for our listeners who may not be quite as familiar with the fishery to remember that fishing enterprises are, in fact, small businesses.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, they're varying size businesses, but they range from relatively smaller enterprises, and then we know that there's people have invested millions and millions, and it's end up in a very big business, and there's numbers of people, and a lot of these vessels, for example, individual enterprise would have, 7, 8, or 9 people involved in the enterprise, and you multiply that by the thousands of these enterprises we have, and I think we know that in rural Newfoundland and Labrador, generally without exception, I mean, that's the biggest business in town. When you combine that with all the processing facilities that are operating and then all the other activities around that, and I think it's a good time to mention, certainly again, processing facilities. We've received many calls from people in that that business, again, who are just really concerned about how they can really safely operate. I mean, it's time when people go to work. By the nature of the fishery, it's going to be seasonal in many places. But at a time when people just don't have income, but we have a workforce where the demographics have certainly a lot of people in their 50s and 60s and even 70s, and we understand what this virus, the coronavirus, the impacts on people who are generally in older age brackets, and so it's not hard to understand why people are so concerned and have such anxiety. So we're working hard to make sure that we're going to do whatever we do in this environment as safely as possible.
Indeed. Keith Sullivan, the president of the FFAW, is my guest on Target St. John's today. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back on VOCM's On Target. Our guest today is president of the FFAW, Keith Sullivan. And Keith, since we've been talking, VOCM's Brian Madore has forwarded me this release from DFO saying that Fisheries and Oceans Canada advises that while the management approach for the 2020 Newfoundland and Labrador snow crab fishery has not been finalized, the fishery will not open before April 20th. And a decision on the management approach is expected in the near future. So no surprise there, I'm sure, from your perspective.
No, it wasn't a surprise. We've heard it from so many people, just not comfortable now. Obviously, we had to talk to so many people to get this input, and our leadership, like our elected inshore council and everything else. But we sent the request last week. We would hope to hear sooner, because we know we've got a lot of questions and uncertainty. So we followed up with the department to ask, please be more responsive. I mean, I can't stress enough the anxiety that people are feeling. So getting this information out quicker, at least when we do have some of the answers. We know right now that that there's some answers we just don't have. I know, for example, people in our offices have been just inundated with calls, questions, particularly on things around the employment benefits. How do you access that? What scenarios will I get something in? And in the early days after these announcements, the details are just not there, whether you were someone at our offices or even people with CRA or Service Canada, for example, just did not know the details of the program. So, again, the best way we can try and do it is put it out there in black and white and examples of how people go through things and things like frequently asked questions. So I know it started with a question about the date on CRAD, but again, I think getting information, at least things that are certain, out to people as much as we can is important in times when everything else or many other things are uncertain.
And you touched on this earlier as well, but I no doubt that you're also having discussions about possible compensation packages for fish harvesters, their crews, and for those in processing facilities.
Yes, so that's certainly a part of the discussion. And like I had said before, you know, first off, considering what was happening, if plants weren't going to open, if people are thrown out of work in any number of circumstances. We've seen what's happened to hospitality and tourism. You know, so many hotels closed. We've seen major projects shut down. And again, fishery not being able to start up. You know, what are the considerations, the immediate ones? So having an emergency response is important. So we've already pointed out to the federal government that having 55% of someone's income either, that's not a solution. That's really not where people need to be, and we got to look at considerations. And we had suggested replacement of up to 90%. I mean, if you got many cases, we have two people in a family that are now out of work. You just can't continue to pay the bills and the mortgage if people are tossed out like that. So, again, in other places, you know, some of the things around fees and everything else, there are some of the short-term considerations. Beyond that, having something that's more substantial that really addresses the need of what's, you know, an industry that's over $1 billion when you're talking about the fishery. So that's focus on markets and analysis and our position in future years, but certainly replacing the lost income beyond very, very small amounts, particularly for people with large investments and major bills. It's going to take something unique, some consideration. And right now, again, it's we got to look at all options right now, and I'll be having a conversation with the federal fisheries minister later today. We've been in contact with them certainly in the past, and local representatives and provincial representatives as well. So it'll be a good opportunity to have this conversation directly with the minister today. So, and like the last time we spoke, just updates that come out of that call, if there's certainly any information that'll be important to pass on to people.
FFAW President Keith Sullivan, a pleasure as always. Thank you very much for keeping us up to date on this important issue and how it affects the province. No doubt we'll be hearing more news out of your conversations with the Federal Fisheries Minister later today at a later date. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much, Linda. Always appreciate it. And like I said, for people to stay in touch with us, look for us on Facebook and Twitter, and the FFAW website is certainly a good tool for needs for our members at this time. Stay safe.
FFAW President Keith. Same to you. Thank you very much. That's FFAW President Keith Sullivan, our guest today on Target St. John's. Thanks for listening.